He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we are now into hour number two. It is the 28th day of September 2005, a little over 4 years since the military-industrial complex carried out the 9/11 style attacks. The 9/11 attacks, and have since carried out further attacks to scare us into submission. I am extremely honored to be joined by Eustace Mullins. Eustace has written the definitive works, really the great-grandfather of much of the modern movement against the Federal Reserve and the New World Order. He is literally a living founding father in the Second American Revolution against the very same trash we fought in 1776. And he, of course, was the protege and I could call him, I guess, an adherent to Ezra Pound, what was he, the Nobel Prize-winning author, poet, who was imprisoned for being against the World War II. And Ezra Pound, ladies and gentlemen, and of course he was an expert on the New World Order and what was happening. And so we are going to have Mr. Mullins with us for the next hour. And we're going to discuss some of his definitive works and some of the incredible articles he's written. And we're going to take your calls. But I thought it was interesting to have Alan Greenspan coming out and saying, oh, you've overspent and you've got a big deficit and you're going to have a crash and the real estate bubble's going to pop. Well, the central bank has always done this before a recession or a depression. They cause it. They openly engineer it. They print the $5 trillion in the last 3 years. They flood the world with cheap dollars, fiat currency, and then they pose as the saviors. And I heard it, Eustace Mullins last night, basically talking about that on the Rick Adams show, and I called in. Listen, it's really good to have you on, Eustace.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be on your show again.
You bet. I'm glad we were able to get through the folks that keep trying to block us calling you.
Well, they have been, for the last 2 years, I can hardly receive a telephone call. I mean, they go to a lot of trouble and a lot of effort, but they seem to think it's worthwhile.
Well, I've had cases where I get really important phone calls, say from some of the biggest radio shows in the country, and they go, well, we left you messages, we sent you an email, they never get it.
Oh, yes. That's standard procedure.
Well, that must mean we're hurting them then, Eustace.
Oh, it is. It shows that they're hurting. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine. The local court revoked my driver's license while I was in the nursing home for a stroke a few years ago. So this crazy judge calls my case, and of course I wasn't there. I told a relative to get a continuance, but instead he didn't do that. And so when my case was called, because I wasn't there, they revoked my license for failure to appear in court, which is the same thing they pulled on Randy Weaver in the ruckus out in Idaho.
Well, yeah, they don't tell you about it, and then
don't
show up.
You're supposed to know somehow.
Well, it's just amazing, Eustace. We're about to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about your awakening, what the Federal Reserve is, and then bring it into current context with how the Federal Reserve is really driving America into the ground, and also want to talk about your groundbreaking book about the Federal Reserve, sir, so please stay with us. Folks, we'll be right back with Eustace Mullins, and literally a living legend. And I know we have loaded phone lines coming up in about 20, 30 minutes or so. We'll get to Robert and Brian and Brett and many others. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. And we'll be back on the other side of this quick break. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
is joining us here in the second segment of the last 5 minutes. We had Eustace Mullins on with us, who really is a living legend. And again, he was the protege of Ezra Pound, the Nobel Prize-winning author, who was better known for his poetry, less known for his expose of the international bankers and their plan for a one-world government through their central banks. And at almost 83 years of age, Eustace Mullins is working harder than he's ever worked. I was just talking to him during the break. He was telling me about that. And he literally, you can trace him back to, you know, being one of the fathers of the fight against the Federal Reserve. And he is with us, thank God, and fighting harder than ever. I hear him on the radio all the time. Eustace, good to have you back on with us.
Oh, I'm certainly glad to be here.
You know, with men like you and some of your contemporaries like Hutton Gibson, who I know you've met or friends with, you know, I hope that the younger generations can live up to the work you gentlemen have done.
Well, I hope they can. You know, Ezra Pound was the hero of young people during the 1920s, and then they put the Iron Curtain down, and you never heard of him again.
Well, tell us how you woke up to the Federal Reserve when you met Ezra Pound. What happened?
Well, I was going to Washington Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, which was founded by George Washington, and Robert E. Lee became the president after the Civil War. And I was going to school there. It was a very fine school, but they didn't have an art department. So I moved up to an art school in Washington, D.C., and one of my professors there happened to be visiting Ezra Pound at St. Elizabeth Hospital. And he was a dedicated liberal, but he admired Ezra for his work, and so he was helping him translate French poetry. And he insisted I should go and see Ezra Pound. And I said, what in the world would Ezra Pound talk to me about? And so he took me out there, and we hit it off right away. And I started visiting him every day. I have to tell my audiences that I got my education in the insane asylum, which is really true. I had been to 5 of the best universities in the United States, and I didn't learn one thing. But in a week at the St. Elizabeth's Insane Asylum, I heard more common sense than I'd ever heard in all the universities I've been to.
Well, you know, he was an icon, so they couldn't put him really in prison. And so for preaching against the war and talking about how it was staged, they did what the Soviets would do. They just grabbed him and put him in the mental institution.
Oh, yes. That was a favorite technique of Stalin anyway.
When did they finally let Ezra Pound out?
They never let him out. I got him freed. I went to a congressman, and he went on the floor of Congress, and he said, why is the government holding this man? He'd been there 13 and a half years without trial, which, as you know, can't happen under our Constitution.
Well, it's now happening. The Supreme Court ruled they could.
It happens all the time.
I mean, doesn't mean it's lawful, but the Charles T. Shell case, the arming dentist at Waco who saw them kill the people, he went public. 8 years ago, they grabbed him. He's been in solitary confinement, never gone to trial for Medicaid fraud, and they've been forcibly drugging him for 8 years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I feel like I've been lucky when I hear about things like that and Ezra Pound, because I don't think I could have survived one night at St. Elizabeth's.
When did you first meet Ezra Pound? What year was that?
1948, and I got him out in 1958, 10 years later. You see, he had a lawyer in New York named Julian Cornell who was supposed to represent him, and he represented him by never filing a single paper in his behalf. So I sat there for 10 years with him, and I took a friend of mine out there, a famous newspaper man named Rex Serpent Lampman, and so I introduced Rex to Ezra Pound, and he sat down and talked to him, and finally Rex said, well, you don't belong in here. And Ezra said, well, I don't know that. And he said, well, I'm going to do something about it. And Rex knew all the prominent people in Washington, D.C., so he found this congressman that owed him a favor, and he asked him to go on the floor of Congress. So he asked, why is the government holding this man? And they had no answer because they never had any case against him whatsoever.
Well, that's classic, where lawyers get control of somebody's estate.
Oh, it is.
And then help, you know, commit them or don't defend them.
Well, usually they do things like that for money.
Well, Well, absolutely. So I mean, you go in there, and you're getting this classical education, high-quality education. I mean, describe for us what it was first like. I'm sure you're, when you first started talking to Ezra Pound, what was this like?
Well, it was kind of strange at first. It was a little frightening because we were surrounded by lunatics, people making faces at you and walking up and down and muttering and so forth. I mean, this is not usual in an educational system, you know. But we talked and we just ignored everybody. And it worked for all the years that I was there.
Now, I mean, right off the bat, let's get into the Federal Reserve. What did Ezra Pound teach you about the Federal Reserve that was put into place in December of 1913?
Well, he didn't teach me anything. He said to me, he asked me if I would go to the Library of Congress and see what I could find out about the Federal Reserve System. So I just began researching at the Library of Congress, and I found out it was the greatest criminal syndicate in history, which I state in the foreword of my book. It is. It is not. It's not federal. It has no no federal background, and it's not. It has no reserves because it prints its own money. It's a central bank which has the right of issue, the right to print money, and it's not a system. I said it's a criminal syndicate. And you know, that book has been circulated for 50 years, and nobody in the Federal Reserve System has ever objected to my calling it a criminal syndicate.
Well, I have to tell you, I remember getting into this 12 years ago. Most people didn't know it wasn't federal. Now, everybody I talk to goes, of course it is. And big national talk show hosts admit that, okay, it's not federal, but so what?
Yeah.
So now, so what?
So well, it could be communist or Nazi or anything. If it's not federal, what is it?
Well, it must be satisfying to know, though, that you've labored for over 50 years, and now the information you brought forward has gone from being, you know, totally disregarded to being common sense.
Well, I've got the greatest and the most flattering thing that can happen to an author. My books have been plagiarized many times. My articles, too. And so that just, it feeds the fire, you know, it keeps the flames going.
You know, I've noticed that. I've read probably 10 books on the Federal Reserve, and most of them are just regurgitations of your definitive book.
Oh, some of it, I'd write rip-offs, a complete plagiarism of the entire book.
I know, I've noticed that. Why don't you tell folks about your definitive book?
Well, when Ezra got me into this and I got into it, he said, you've got to write this as a detective story. He realized it was a criminal operation. See, up to that time, he thought of international bankers as conspirators and somewhat criminal, but he thought that the only thing they did was start wars and create famines and revolutions and monetary panics. But he found that it was much more sinister than that. It was a really satanic operation.
Well, that's what I found. Every time I turn over a rock, it really is satanic. Why don't you describe what you discovered?
Well, what I discovered was that the most famous names in this country, the biggest and most important and influential people, like J.P. Morgan, who always had a man in the White House talking to the president, and these people were running the country, and they were running the world. In fact, when they wrote the Federal Reserve Act at Jekyll Island, Georgia, in 1910, during Thanksgiving week, at a secret meeting, the New York Times reported that this group controlled one-sixth of the entire wealth of the world. In fact, they probably control more than that. They probably control it all right now.
Well, they certainly have got the lion's share of it, which gives them the power to steer society.
Oh, it certainly does, because when you have the controlling interest, it's yours.
How did you set about trying to wake people up? I mean, what was it like in the first days back in the 1950s?
Well, I continued to research, and Ezra helped me. He actually commissioned this book. He paid me $10 a week to do the research on this book, which at that time you could live on in Washington, D.C., believe it or not.
But the government says there's no inflation.
Well, a dollar in 1913, when the Federal Reserve was passed, was worth 100 cents Today it's worth one-sixth of a cent. That is inflation. I don't know what it is.
Eustace Mullins, now I know you've written several books and dozens of papers. Why don't you give us a listing of some of the publications you put out?
Well, I put out the Federal Reserve book in 1953, and it's been continuously in print ever since. None of my books have ever gone out of print, but I've got six of them. I'm out of stock right now. I got to reprint. After the Federal Reserve, I wrote, and the following year, I wrote the World Order. That was a sequel to the Federal Reserve. It expanded the Federal Reserve to the entire world. And after that, I wrote the Curse of Canaan, which was a study of demonology in history. I found out that demonology has been constant on this earth ever since the beginning of man. And I followed that with the only history of the American Medical Association, which I call Murder by Injection, and which has been a bestseller. One of my biggest fans is Minister Farrakhan, who's trying to educate African-American people that their biggest enemy is their diet. And he's trying to help them in that way, and he's having a lot of success.
Absolutely. Stay there, Eustace. We're going to come back, and I want to get into demonology. And then I want to get into the more contemporary Federal Reserve scams and what they're currently doing with our socioeconomic system, with our economy, and the oil and the real estate bubble, all of it. But absolutely, at the core of this is the worship of Lucifer and his pomps. It's devil worshippers. I mean, I never expected in my research the New World Order to keep running into it. But it's real. I mean, it's going on. It's happening. It's universal with these elites. When did you, in your research about the New World Order, Eustace, begin to discover this obsession with the occult? Tell us about your research and what you discovered.
Well, actually, I didn't find it in research. It was in the daily newspapers. I was living in New York at that time, and you can pick up the New York Times, and there was a story about a J.P. Morgan partner and his wife having peyote parties at their Greenwich Village mansion. And they were into all sorts of occult drugs.
But not just the drugs. You talk about demonology. I mean, I'm sure...
Well, the demonology, when you get into drugs and occult, you get into the demonology. That's part of it.
Oh, I understand the pharmakia, the whole root of it with the witch doctors. But I mean, obviously, I snuck into Bohemian Grove. I've witnessed the mock human sacrifices. Everybody knows about Skull and Bones, the occult symbols for all the corporations. I mean, can you comment on that?
Yes. The occult depends entirely on symbols. And you find this in Renaissance paintings. I have a friend of mine, a very fine artist named Margaret Stuckey, who did my portrait. And she has published a book on the fact that there are occult symbols in all of the famous Renaissance paintings in our museums all over the world.
Well, that's certainly been documented. I mean, that's all over the place.
Yes.
What is the New World Order's final goal? I mean, if they got their wish list, if all opposition could be annihilated overnight, what would they build? What would they do? What is their deepest desire?
Well, they would do just what they're doing now. They want total control over every person in the world. And if they can't have control of you, they're going to eliminate you. It's that simple.
But isn't that also an end to a means? I mean, they want to control us so they can kill us.
Oh, yes. Everything is an end toward the means. As Franklin D. Roosevelt said, nothing happens by accident. It's planned that way.
Well, absolutely. Only the naive would believe otherwise.
Well, yes.
But I'm trying to understand, Eustace. I mean, a lot of people are waking up. I've never seen people waking up this fast. But at the same time, the globalists are moving even faster. Do you think we're going to win this thing? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, they were doomed to failure because Nimrod, who was the first world dictator, collapsed. He was the first, that's in my book, on the Curse of Canaan. But this all originated right there where our troops are fighting today in Iraq. That was the cradle of Christian civilization. And in fact, our armies had destroyed many of the earliest Christian artifacts in Iraq all over the country.
Yeah, it's amazing. So if they had their way, though, I mean, not just control, detailing it, what are their plans? I mean, they openly say they want to kill 85% of us. That's public.
Well, I think it all goes back to Oriental despotism. I think the despotism, which originated in Asia, always has as its goal mass murder, executions, torture, you name it. That's what they want.
Is that a cultural aberration because of the first large populations being in China? Because we do know that, I mean, I have photographs where they just let dead babies rot and die on the side of the street in China. I mean, human life, you know, selling melted down flesh for cosmetics from murdered dissidents.
Oh, yes, that's exactly the way the thing operates. Well, human beings no longer become people. They're just articles of commerce.
Well, is that why now they don't call the person who's your boss, they call them human resource director?
A human resource director, and that's why the 14th Amendment renamed all American citizens as subjects, and we've been known as subjects since the Civil War.
Yeah, for those that don't know, they didn't free the slaves, they just made us all slaves.
That's exactly right. And the English were the first to point that out, that there was no revolt against slavery, they just enslaved the whole country. And it's been enslaved ever since. With puppet political parties, we've had no political parties in this country. I have repeatedly written to here in my home state of Virginia, where Woodrow Wilson was born, a few blocks from where I'm sitting. I have repeatedly notified the governor of Virginia that I want to restore self-government to the state of Virginia. And, of course, he's not very happy about that.
All right, folks. We have got one of the fathers in this country of the fight against the Federal Reserve joining us, a very prolific individual. He's Eustace Mullins. We're going to come back and get into what's happening with the economy right now and ways to defeat the globalists, ways to accelerate their collapse. They will collapse of their own weight. Will we be crushed in the collapse is the question. From 11 to 2 Central, back from 9 to midnight Central Standard Time. Robert and Brian and Brian and Brett and others, your calls are coming up here in about 10 minutes. We will get to you with Eustace Mullins, who I'm so honored to have. And by the way, I was just chastising him during the break. Eustace never plugs his books, never plugs his website, never. And it's so important to because these are key materials in the fight against the New World Order. He gets so focused on the message, which, God bless him, he doesn't take time out to plug the source materials. Go to EustaceMullins.com, and you can get all his books and materials there, read a lot of his articles. And Amazon won't carry them anymore, but they sell, you know, used copies of them for hundreds of dollars. So we have more and more of that censorship coming into play now. But these are definitive, classic works, so seek them out, find them, get them. Call your local bookstore, demand they carry them, because these are scholarly works. I mean, I was waking up to the New World Order 12 years ago, you know, educating myself, reading books like the New World Order, reading you know, books like his Federal Reserve book. By the way, Eustace, I'm sure you know your Federal Reserve book is online. Were you aware of that?
Oh, yes. That's been online for some time.
Are you pleased that that's there?
Well, nobody ever asked me about it. Nobody ever asked my permission. But it's all right. It keeps it going.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I commend you. But people should buy hard copies. Hard copies are so important. Eustace, I got a few questions for you, then I want to take some calls. Trying to understand all of this, let's talk about vaccines for a moment, because now they say mercury is nutritious for the children. They don't deny it's in there now. First they said they took it out. Now they admit they've actually increased the mercury. And now they say it's nutritious. I have the local and national newscast and local reports on that. What are they really doing to us through the vaccines, Eustace?
Well, that's a control mechanism. In fact, vaccines are the biggest boon for the medical profession. When you have a vaccine in your system, that is engineered so you could never, the body can never reject it. It's going to be there for life. And I quote one doctor who says he never met a person who had cancer who had not been vaccinated.
Well, they admit not just SV40 that's still being given, by the way, in the polio vaccines. That's confirmed. But there are literally over 60 known cancer viruses being transmitted through different vaccines. And even where the virus shouldn't be there in the production, there's no tissue supposed source. Still, it's in there, Eustace.
Well, I think that's designated to be in there because that is what creates lifetime illness, that you're going to be at the mercy of doctors as long as you live after you have that vaccination.
Oh, it's a nightmare, and of course also the mercury brain damages and dumbs down the population.
And the fluoride water, which was an invention of Stalin and Hitler, they discovered they could control their populations in the concentration camps with fewer guards by fluoridating the water supply.
By the way, I know you document everything. You know, I actually track that back, the classified Army reports and things that aren't supposed to be published.
Oh,
they,
yes.
They learned that, ran over here and did it. And listen, don't believe us. We have the University, you know, in London. We have all the big, literally hundreds and hundreds of major studies. University of Texas studies in 1934 saying this is a toxic sedative, stannous fluoride. Understand, folks, not debatable. Tell us about fluoride.
Well, fluoride is a byproduct of aluminum manufacture, and it was so poisonous that it was costing them a lot of money to dispose of it. That was one of the biggest expenses that the Aluminum Company of America had, was disposing of the waste from aluminum manufacture. And so they got some doctors to say that this poisonous substance, if it was put in the water, would keep children from having cavities. So it would be a health boon. And so most of the world adopted sodium fluoride.
But now from Ireland to England, it's being removed because major studies show bone fractures, brain tumors, retardation of growth, all just so many different horrible documented side effects. In fact, there are few substances that have been more documented to be toxic. In fact, the big dentist who was in the Canadian government who got their water fluoride 12 years ago, 2 years ago he went public and said, I was wrong, I was conned. Not only is this sodium fluoride and stannous fluoride toxic, they're not even taking out the heavy metal agents from aluminum and fertilizer production. They're dumping toxic waste itself in there.
Oh, yes. Well, one of my nephews is a very prominent dentist, and he told me he quit using mercury some years ago. A lot of dentists don't use it anymore because they suffer more from it from everybody else. They're grinding teeth, and that mercury vapor as they grind the teeth, they're getting part of that themselves. I know one dentist here in my hometown is totally cuckoo from mercury vapor.
Well, especially when they're mixing the amalgam.
Yeah, well, they work in it all day, you see, and they're the worst victims of it.
I know, and you try to tell them, and they just don't listen. With the amalgam fillings, they sit there when it's in the liquid form and mix it.
Yeah, well, you see, they never called it mercury for many years. They only called it amalgam. So amalgam sounds all right to you. Why would anybody get scared of that? They wouldn't even mention mercury.
Well, the globalists, you look at Jay Rockefeller from West Virginia, you look at others, they're big health nuts. All they eat is special organic food.
Well, of course.
It's been in news articles that they only brush their teeth with non-fluoride toothpaste. They jog 6 miles every morning. They won't go in the cities at certain times. They wear a little face mask. You know, they live to be 100 and something. I mean, it's so obvious that they're doing this to us. Why do they hate us so much, Jesus?
Well, they have to control us. It's not that they hate us. They're just using us. I mean, we're human fodder, that's all. We're an opportunity to make money.
So for some of them, it's like how you look at a cow. It's not that you even hate the cow. It's just a cow.
Yeah. Well, some people keep their horses and cows in barns that are more lavishly furnished in a lot of people's homes. They were really rich people. But I was in Washington, D.C. when they fluoridated the water in Washington, D.C., and the senators and congressmen boasted that they would never drink a drop of it. They outfitted every congressional office in Washington, D.C. with mountain bottled water brought in from West Virginia.
Oh, man. And by the way, Coca-Cola and Pepsi have tried to head it off at the pass with their bottled water. If you drink their bottled water, you're a Fruit Loop. They caught the they caught the Coca-Cola brand full of deadly poison, and they take Houston Municipal Water and sell it to you.
Oh, yes.
So the answer is filter it yourself. Do not trust them.
Oh, yes. And the reverse filter is the best one because it really takes the stuff out of there.
Talking about reverse osmosis?
Osmosis, yes.
Yeah, it's good. I use that to cook. I use a gravity filter to keep some of the minerals for my general drinking water. Now, Eustace, I want to get into the Federal Reserve here, and then I want to take some calls. Federal Reserve, I mean, you wrote the book on how it operates, but from that point on, they love to come out and pose as our saviors when they have carried out the monetary policy that clearly is causing it. They've printed $5 trillion the last 3 years. The dollar has plunged just in the last few years by another 44%. As you mentioned, 99% in the last 60 years. All over the world, people are dumping dollars. China's gone to a basket of currencies. All this is happening. The average American has no idea, but they know all about the Red Sox and the Yankees last night. They have no idea what's going on, but their bank account's been devalued almost down to nothing. We're being deindustrialized. And then Greenspan's dancing around going, you people are dumb. You're going to have a crash. It's your fault. Big deficits. I mean, that's like if I set your house on fire and then I blame you for it burning down. I mean, it's comment on that, please, sir.
Well, if you use the Federal Reserve money, which is the only money you can use, it's the medium of exchange, well, you're in their hands. They can do anything they want.
And then pose as the savior.
Yes. Well, do you know that the entire Federal Reserve Act was written? It's been plugged in books on economics ever since as banking reform. They said, we'll never have another panic, we'll never have another depression, and we'll have internal prosperity. And the mission of the Federal Reserve System was to stabilize the dollar. And they've not done nothing but destabilize the dollar ever since they started operation.
And we also wouldn't have inflation.
No, indeed.
Why, that evil 1.1% we were having before... Why, we'll give you 5, 6, 10%. That'll fix it.
Well, Greenspan caused the crash of 2000, in which the New York Times said that they took $8 trillion from the American people between March and November of 2000.
Well, for those that don't know, I own a libertarian book. I forget the name of it. I've got several of them with essays written by 5 or 6 different authors. And there's like a 80-page essay. And this is available. This stuff's even online by Greenspan about the evil bankers at the Federal Reserve and how we need the gold standard and how it's all a scam and how the Federal Reserve is an engine of inflation controlled by criminals. And he was one of us, and they went and they bought him, didn't they?
Oh, they did indeed. Well, his mentor was Milton Friedman, who also denounced the Federal Reserve, saying they'd never done anything right since their operation. So he became the most august economist in the country. But the only reason they put Greenspan in charge of the Federal Reserve System is that he fully understood it. He published all these things about it, and they found out that he absolutely understood the Federal Reserve System. So he's the ideal person to run it and do anything they wanted.
Yeah, that's admitted. They said, oh, you really get the scam.
Sure.
How is unlimited power sound? I mean,
well,
for those that don't
job.
Know, I mean, folks, he really wrote multiple essays about how it's totally evil. and now he's the Fed chairman.
Well, he was known as Mr. Fixer on Capitol Hill. He is the one that upped the Social Security tax and really put the young married couples in this country under a bind because they were paying so much Social Security tax that they couldn't afford to have children or buy a home.
Well, for those that don't know this, the Fed chairman is a lot more powerful than the president, isn't he, Eustace?
Oh, that's been printed many times in Newsweek and Time over the years. Every time we have a national election, somebody in Newsweek or Time points out that the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board is more powerful than any president.
Well, we better watch out when he's saying irrational exuberance and 3 weeks ago talking about crashes. And I mean, that means they may be setting us up for a mass shearing, Eustace?
Well, they're talking about a real estate crash, and they're really promoting that.
Well, you know why? Because they're mad. Yes, real estate's vastly overpriced, but at least there's some real tangible value. They're angry that you're translating their fiat currency into tangible real estate. And, folks, you could get hurt in it. Don't be upside down in it. The time to buy is once they do crash it, they're going to be buying it up for 5 cents on the dollar, right, Eustace?
Well, they certainly will. In fact, they're going to buy up New Orleans. You know, Katrina happened to be one of the biggest occasions for urban renewal this country has ever seen. New Orleans was absolutely a mess. I spoke down there in July, and the whole town was decrepit and is falling apart. And with this hurricane, they're going to rebuild it from the ground up, and they bust out. Now, Farrakhan has criticized this, and he's absolutely right. They have bust out the black people from New Orleans, and they're going to rebuild it from the ground up. They're going to make it another Las Vegas.
Well, they're already talking about making areas of it an island and flooding it and making a big and, of course, who's going to get all the contracts but Halliburton and others?
Well, the same inside people, they're going to make all the money because you're going to see fortunes, billions and billions of dollars made in New Orleans after this Katrina thing. And
well,
then they're never going to allow the African-Americans to come back in there.
Basically, we got them hanging off the government mammering over here in Iraq, and then now they're going to attach themselves like a leech to another one with this other $200 billion, and it's all going to be a giant boondoggle.
Oh, yes. And they'll make a lot of money, and it's New Orleans will be a beautiful place in 5 years when they get this thing going, but it's going to cost a lot of money, and people are going to make a lot of money.
Let's take a few calls, Eustace.
All right.
Let's go ahead and talk to, who's up next here, Robert? Robert Mass, you're on the air with Eustace Mullins, a living legend.
Hello there, Alex, Mr. Mullins. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, fellas, I wanted to, you touched on something early, Mr. Mullins, and it's a coincidence because I had this ready to go. I called in earlier not knowing that you were going to be on. I wanted to touch upon a subject, and I want to make Alex yourself and your listeners aware.
Well, go ahead and make the point, sir.
Of Enki and the World Order, an ancient poem that was of Sumerian in a narrative poem. And it's the New World Order, basically from ancient times. And it was what it documents. And I don't know if George Orwell, writer of 1984 and things, was aware of this. He may have been, because it describes Enki, or he describes himself as a big brother.
Yeah, it's all a Babylonian text.
Babylonian.
That's exactly what Eustace's demonology book gets into.
So it's like the Christianity never happened. I mean, it's like it was totally ignored. And they haven't stopped doing these sacrifices and things like this from the Bohemian Grove. I just recently obtained a copy of it. I think it's fantastic, and I say more power to you.
Well, thank you for the support, Robert. That makes this broadcast possible. Do you want a specific comment?
Well, I just wanted to understand how this can be ignored. I mean, this is not 25 years old, but also 40 years ago. Or in the 40s, actually, the Ghosts on the Loose from the East Side Kids, Leo Gorcy movies. We're talking about the New World Order in some of the
movies. Well, Adolf Hitler gave speeches saying a New World Order. H.G. Wells, who was a futurist and wrote nonfiction books as well as fiction, said we're going to kill 80% of you and we're going to take over. This is about them being God. Eustace, comment.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Adolf Hitler's main book after Mein Kampf was The New World Order. And that's exactly what he was working on.
So the 40s and then and thousands of years ago, it's like it's something that can't be just overlooked and say, oh, well, someone's making this up today. It's not.
Well, I mean, look, Bush is saying, I'm going to put troops on the streets. They're going to have guns. We're going to run your life. It's open martial law in our face. Thanks for the call, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Robert. That's important information. God bless. Eustace, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. All those cliches ring true here. And those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. People keep forgetting the lessons, don't they?
Well, they don't even learn the lessons. That's the problem. It's not a question of forgetting. They just remain unaware of what is really going on right in front of their eyes.
What do you think of Bush just throwing down the gauntlet and saying, I'm turning America into a military camp?
Well, that's exactly what he wanted to do all along. After all, his father took the World Drug Operation and incorporated it into the CIA, and a guy who can run a deal like that, you have to say he has some ability.
Well, Daddy Bush has got a lot of ability. Very evil, folks. Very evil. Oh, good Christian conservatives, though, Eustace. I heard it on TV.
Oh, yes, that's what they always tell you. And they go to church on Sunday, too.
So they're good. And the devil masquerades as an angel of light, too, folks. We'll talk to Brian and Brett when we get back. Stay with us. Eustace Mullins coming up.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to try to hold Eustace 5 minutes over into the next hour so we can get to at least the callers that are holding. And then we've got a gentleman coming on who worked inside the Bohemian Grove, and he's got the video and photos to prove it. I've seen him. And we're going to be incorporating that, if you can get him to me quick enough, into this update of Bohemian Grove I'm going to release in a few weeks. But it is powerful info, so he's coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. Please don't forget Infowars.com and the online bookstore and video store. Your purchase of the videos and books makes possible what you're hearing right now. Plus, they're great videos, so many of them. So many great books, so many great videos. You need to have them. Or you can call toll-free to get my new film, Martial Law, or any of the documentaries. 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or don't forget PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cents a day, monthly and yearly subscriptions. Sign up for a trial month, folks. All my documentaries, my weekly TV reports, my special video reports, all my best audio interviews, PrisonPlanet.tv. And it makes this, again, this broadcast possible. A word of the wise is sufficient. You need to take advantage of this and get the videos and make copies and get them out to people. That's the goal. Don't forget EustaceMullins.com as well, folks. Need to visit his excellent website and get his books. Eustace, let's talk to Brian in California, then Brian in Oklahoma. Brian, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just talked real quick about the...
Your audio's real low today. I'm having audio problems. Speak up for me.
I'm sorry about that. I just like to talk real quick about the an act that was passed shortly after September 11th that not too many people are aware of, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, which talks about forced quarantines and vaccinations in the event of a public emergency.
Well, yeah, that was a federal initiative that failed in the states, so they passed it as part of the Homeland Security package via executive fiat, page 76, Homeland Security. Comment on that, Eustace.
Well, that was all part of the general program for world control. I mean, they hailed 9/11 as another Pearl Harbor. And, of course, Pearl Harbor was one of the funniest things that ever happened.
Well, the CFR had a meeting on TV days after 9/11. They said, we'll use this disaster for a new world order.
Well, that's exactly what it was planned to do. And it's working fairly well, apparently. And the American people were totally sold on it. And we're in Iraq today because of 9/11. Actually, our troops are over there to avenge 9/11. That's the only reason they're there.
And they're not done. We may have to go into more countries.
Oh, well, you know, you've probably never heard of this, but in the year 2000, Bush addressed the graduating class at West Point, and he boasted that they were going to launch preventive strikes against 69 countries that were supporting terror.
No, I remember, and they even put it in the PNAC document.
Oh, yes, well, that's good. Well, I was in a hotel in Tokyo, and I read it in the Asahi Shimbun. And I couldn't believe it, and I thought I would get back here and do a story on it. And when I got back here, I could not find it mentioned in any newspaper.
I remember hearing about it, but the only place you'll find it in text, he was just reading off a PNAC plan. That was the September 2000. That's in that plan.
Oh, it is in there. Well, I wonder what happened to it, because it disappeared.
It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses, that particular. You know, in that same document, they say that the government's developed race-specific bioweapons to kill certain races. I mean, these guys are lunatics.
Oh, yes. Everything they do is lunacy.
Brian, you brought up a good point. Anything else?
I was just wondering, did that actually pass or go through, or have states adopted this into law?
Okay, the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act only passed a few states. We beat it. So the feds passed it and now say under executive power, the feds will force it.
And then
they have to set the precedent for the feds to be the leaders in emergencies preemptively. See, now Bush is attacking America. They're seizing America like they're seizing Iraq. We'll be right back. Houston, stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've had Eustace Mullins on with us for the last hour, just an American legend, one of the fathers of exposing the Federal Reserve, has lectured as far away as Japan, and he's here with us today, EustaceMullins.com. And we're going to take a few calls right now, and then he's going to have to leave us. We have a guest coming on who we'll just call Kyle, who, saw quite a bit working at the Bohemian Grove this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to want to miss this eyewitness report of the Christian conservatism. Oh, yes. But let's talk to Brett in Michigan, and then we'll, Brian in Oklahoma, then Brett. I apologize. I'm getting my list out of order here. Brian in Oklahoma, then Brett. Brian, quickly, have a question or comment for Eustace, or go ahead.
Actually, I called yesterday, and I got a dropped call. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, yesterday what I was calling about was when you had JOF on. I went into a local gun shop and bought an AR-15, but it was older, and you know how ATF says if it has any M16 parts in it, even though it doesn't fire, they still consider a machine gun?
Yes.
So I pulled the parts out, and I went ahead and bought it because I wanted the pre-ban lower out of it. And I went back in the gun store 2 days later, and supposedly a cop had dropped off this gun. The owner says, hey, I said, I've never had this happen before. He said, ATF called yesterday, wanted to know who bought that gun. And when I told him that that you took all the M16 parts out of it in the store, they just hung up on him.
Yeah, it's setups. They bring the guns in, they plant them to bring down the shops, and that's what the JPFO has been exposing. Eustace, the BATF is a criminal organization. They go back to the regulators going after the moonshiners, do they not?
Well, they certainly do, and they are a criminal operation if you've ever seen one. I mean, they'll do anything.
I mean, they'll send family men to prison for no reason and feel good about it.
Well, Randy Weaver is a typical example. But they finally had to wind up, after he murdered his wife and son, they had to finally pay him a measly $3 million for destroying his family.
Well, real men shoot 12-year-olds in the back, so.
No. And for the FBI's top sniper in the United States to shoot Randy Weaver's wife through the forehead, that takes some doing.
While she had a baby on her breast.
And the baby was in her arms.
Well, that's manliness.
Well, apparently that's the American dream, or at least that's the American dream turning into a nightmare.
Our border's wide open, and they tell us terrorists are about to attack any minute, but they got checkpoints searching families on the side of the highway. Anything else Brian?
Thank you for both y'all's work.
I appreciate your call. Yeah, everybody's got to watch out. The BATF puts a part in a rifle that doesn't even make it fully auto. They don't care. I mean, they'll bring it in. They'll give it to you. You don't see the part. Then they'll take your shot, put you in prison, and they'll laugh about it. So, I mean, they're not playing games. Eustace Mullins, I want to thank you so much for coming on with us. We got about a minute left. Any parting words for people out there?
Well, I think the American people are waking up in the nick of time because we're in a desperate situation. And I really believe that the American people will rise to the occasion. After all, the American Revolution took place within 10 miles of where I'm sitting. You know, the American Revolution was not a popular uprising. Only 4% of the colonists took part in the American Revolution. They've always, our history books have always said this was a mass uprising of popular people wanting freedom. And that's total nonsense. There's only 4% of the people that objected to the British at all.
And they said, I'm not your slave. And
yes. Right.
Yeah.
And the British had specialized in colonial people and all over the world, and they found the Americans, they treated them just like they treated the people in India and everywhere else. And they couldn't, they wouldn't take it anymore.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you, Eustace, coming on, my friend.
All right.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Very good.
Bye, con Dios. All right, we'll come right back with the Christian Conservative activities at Bohemian Grove.